morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War, the Unions of Southern... Boy, that's hard to spit out. The Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War will be posting their colors this morning to start off our service.
Bring your flags up now. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand and pay tribute to our flag? Please join me in renewing our pledge of loyalty to our country and its flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number three we've lost.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our invocation this morning is by the Reverend James Hickman of the Church of the Nazarene.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity of coming to pay respect to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Father, I pray that as we continue in this service, I pray that you would just help us, guide us, direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Atlantic High School Band will now play the Armed Services. the pew hand to the Atlantic High School Band under the direction of Jared O'Donnell.
Our speaker this morning is Mr. Mike Carr from Carson, Iowa. Is that right?
Okay.
Oh, please be seated. Mike is a lifelong resident of Carson. He's a retired school teacher with extensive military history knowledge. He's got a bachelor and a master degree from Northwest Missouri State University in Maryville, Missouri. He's married with three daughters and four grandchildren. He's a member of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War. He served on a department level as secretary, chief of staff, Civil War sesquicentennial committee chairman. He's past commander and secretary of the Colonel William H. Kinsman Camp Number 23 from Atlantic. Please welcome Mike Carr.
I may need a little help with this.
Thank you. Before I get started with my little speech, I have to read you something. It's called General Order Number 11. On the 30th day of May, 1868, it is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard, and land. In this observation, no form of ceremony is prescribed. The post and comrades will still own their own arrangements, such as fitting services and testimonials of respect to the circumstances may permit. We organize comrades, as our regulations tell us, for the purpose, among other things, of preserving and strengthening those kind of fraternal feelings which have bound together the soldiers, sailors, and marines who united to suppress the late rebellion. What can aid more to assure this result than cherishing tenderly the memory of the heroic dead who made their brass a barricade between our country and its foes? The soldier lives were the reveille of freedom to a race in chains, and their deaths the tattoo of rebellious tyranny in arms. We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance, all that the consecrated wealth and taste of the nation shall add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of the slain defenders. That is an excerpt from General Order Number 11, which was put up by the Grand Army of the Republic in 1868, which started Memorial Day. Okay. As you can see here, there is a sizable contingent here in the Civil War uniforms. We, the members of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, have a very special reason for being here that we have not had before. On April 12, 1861, wish we had that in the Civil War. On April 12, 1861, 150 years ago, the Civil War began. The 4 years of struggle of that struggle are probably the four most important years in our nation's history. At least eight generations of Iowans have gathered here to celebrate and to remember the lives of those who have served their country in the armed services. Today, the 143rd anniversary of Memorial Day, to look back on the roots of this holiday. In fact, today is the traditional date of the Memorial Day. To many, it's simply the beginning of summer or for the first barbecue of the year. To others, it is a time to visit places such as this to pay our respects to those who are at rest beneath their native soil. We believe this could be an important duty and one we're happy to fulfill. In fact, Memorial Day owes its existence to an Iowan. This was Mr. N.P. Chipman, the Adjutant General of the Grand Army of the Republic. An old Army comrade wrote him and told him that in the soldier's home country of Germany, that it was a tradition to strew flower petals over the graves of the fallen. Chipman, who had been a resident of Washington, Iowa, thought it was a great idea and wrote out the draft of a document that would become GAR Order No. 11, which was signed by General John A. Blackjack Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the GAR. In 1861, Iowa was one of the first to answer the call for volunteers. 76,534 men answered that call, the highest percentage of any state. Of those men, 13,001 did not come home. This was also the highest percentage of any state. General Grant, after the Vicksburg campaign, is quoted as saying, "Iowa is a small state, but they saved my army." Our local National Guard unit is the 168th Regiment. Those of you that served in the 168th are, in a way, direct descendants of the veterans that fought in the Civil War. The story I'm going to tell you today started in August of 1861. That was when Governor Kirkwood authorized the mustering of a regiment. This is authorized the mustering of a regiment of infantry comprising of several Southwest Iowa militia companies under Colonel Greville M. Dodge. That unit was the 4th Iowa Infantry. Iowa regiments played key roles in several battles. The 4th Iowa at Pea Ridge, the 8th, 12th, and 14th Iowa Infantry, brave defenders of the Hornet's Nest of Shiloh, the 23rd at Big Black River Bridge, Mississippi, whose company I mustered out of Lewis, Iowa, and other battles such as Vicksburg, Allerton, Pass, Atlanta, and countless others. As evidence of Iowa's valor, 33 men were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor during the war. This was the most of any state. Time passed, and the veterans went home. In 1876, the various militia companies, the successors of those of the old 4th Iowa, became the 3rd Iowa Infantry Regiment of the National Guard. 22 years and another generation later, the 3rd, now designated the 51st Iowa, was sworn into federal service for the Spanish-American War and shipped to San Francisco and helped suppress the Philippine Insurrection in 1900. In 1900, the regiment was reorganized again as the 51st, but this was changed in 1902 to the 55th Regiment, which seemed to get around. In 1915, it was redesignated the 3rd Iowa Infantry until June of 1917, when it became the 168th Infantry and served as such during World War I. Many actions from World War I saw our boys in combat, the Aisne, the Marne, the Meuse-Argonne Offensive, to name a few. Many servicemen from Atlantic and Southwest Iowa served in the 168th Regiment, part of the famous 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. In February 1941, the 168th mustered again, and from 1941 to 45, served in North Africa, took part in the landings at Anzio, and the liberation of Italy. Some of the older residents still tell of the men marching to the Atlantic Railroad Depot when they shipped out. In the 1960s, the regiment was reorganized 3 times as part of the 47th Division, sending members to Vietnam. In 1991, the unit was reassigned to the 34th Division when they went home. Lately, the 168th has been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, and so ends my little story. The battlefields and the names may change, but our basic patriotic duty to those that served, and especially to those now serving, has remained constant. In closing, as we conclude our memorial service to those of the past, we thank those of you now present that served, especially those that are now serving for your country, for your service and sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. We will now have the placement of the wreaths. Our first wreath for the unknown would be Steve Levingood, U.S. Army retired. G.A.R. Reed will be placed by Sergeant Henry Cricklow of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War. Spanish American will be placed by John Christensen, U.S. Air Force. John's great-grandfather served in the Spanish-American War. World War I, replaced by Dean Barber, U.S. Navy, retired. World War II, placed by Dave Hancock, U.S. Air Force, retired. Korea, placed by Bob Boots, U.S. Coast Guard. Vietnam, placed by Larry Stoke, U.S. Air Force. Desert Storm, placed by Bob Anderson, U.S. Navy. American Legion, placed by Glenn McGill, U.S. Marines. Veterans of Foreign Wars. replaced by Bob Kelly, U.S. Army. Amvets replaced by Mike Dunn, U.S. Army. Disabled American Veterans, Jerry Granquist, U.S. Army, U.S. Marines. National Guard. Steve, can you help me out? National Guard, presented by Steve Livengood, U.S. Army. Present Conflict, presented by Paul Hickman, U.S. Army. He served both in Iraq and Afghanistan. High school band will now play the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you. now have a benediction by the Reverend James Hickman, Church of the Nazarene.
Shall we pray? Father, as we have gathered here today to honor our dead, I pray, Father, that as our men and women around the world who have given up their lives for our country, these individuals that are laying here and the ones that will be laying here have given us the right and the freedom to be able to do this. And as we continue to do this year after year, if anyone asks us why, help us to be able to say, they paid the price. They deserve the honor. Father, I pray that as we continue on, that you would continue to guide and to direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Since last Memorial Day, the Atlantic Color Guard has served at funerals for the following people: Richard Becker, Paul Watson, Jerry Behringer, Robert Elwood, Ivan Schwenke, Frank Rube, Bob Green, Chuck Roth, Bob Einhaus, George Brown, Willis Mundorf, James McDermott, Wythel Drake, Merle Johnson, Emil Kluver, and Roger Guskett. Let us face the east for one moment to honor our comrades. Firing squad, salute the dead. Thanks again to the Atlantic Band. under the direction of Gerald O'Donnell. Please be seated. Before we conclude, I have one little announcement here. The Sons of the Union Veterans of Civil War will have a short ceremony to commemorate the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War and the dedication of the new Civil War flag, flag pole and monument in the Grand Army of the Republic gravesite plot on the west side of the cemetery. Please join them for this short ceremony. In conclusion of this ceremony, thanks everyone for coming. Remember, 5 o'clock, we come back and take down the flags. Thank you, everyone.
And with that, that's the conclusion of the Atlantic Memorial Day service. Memorial Day service is going on at several locations all around, of course, the southwest Iowa, the state, and the country today. We hope you get a chance to get out and salute those who have allowed you to assemble today to be able to honor those folks here in our country. I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us from the Atlantic Cemetery. Let's send it back to the studios at KJAN.
A lifetime of love, you.
When a loved one passes on, it's the end of a lifetime, but not the end of their life.